gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
And you're listening to episode 1,227. See, I wanted to say all the numbers out. 1,227 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris, and I'm joined by Pete.
What's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? You and I this week. No, Danny. Is over in New York, you know, doing stuff. I don't know what's embargoed and isn't, so I won't say it here. But he's over there doing some stuff, having a great time, and he'll be back on the next episode. But for this one, got a lot of fun. I'm excited for this one. So as some people may already know via social media, I have in my possession the NVIDIA RTX 4090 along with DLSS3. And we're going to have a sponsored segment by NVIDIA where I am talking about some of the benefits and the performance that I have seen with DLSS3. And we'll do that right at the top of the show. But then when we come back from that sponsored segment, we're going to deep dive into the RTX 4090, just kind of talk about my experience with it and just some of the other non-DLSS3 performance things that I have seen with it so far. And, you know, Pete, you can obviously ask me, you know, whatever you want on that. We'll just have a discussion by that. And then when we're done with that, we'll just jump into a couple topics that have been happening this week, but should be a full show. So looking forward to that. So how you doing, man? We haven't talked in a minute.
Yeah, dude, it's been a minute, man. Yeah, I'm back home in Switzerland for the first time, and God, it feels like I've just lived in New York all this year, right?
Yeah,
it's like should I just move there? You know, just have like a summer home in the city. Actually, no, I don't think I would want that. I think I'm happy enough being here in Switzerland, but. It's been good, man. It's been good. I've been just, I launched a hotel. I don't think I've ever been able to say that in my entire professional history. I opened a hotel, and it just sounds weird saying it. It's weird.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome, man. But yeah, it's been great seeing all that.
Yeah, man. Just other than that, man, just enjoying life, playing a lot with my Steam Deck. That thing has gone everywhere with me. That thing has almost as many miles as I do in 2022. That's crazy.
Oh, I believe. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we've talked about it before, but to me, that thing is so transformative of this market. It is definitely a disruptor in this industry where, you know, the Switch started all this. I mean, honestly, you could take it back to the Wii U with the concept of, mm-hmm. of what that was, which then led to the Switch to here we are now with the Steam Deck, to where we are taking full on AAA experiences with us wherever we go. And it works. The controls on it are great. The screens on it is great, as you know. And I'm excited to see what 2.0 of that's going to look mm-hmm. like, because even this iteration of it is great, but you know, the battery life could be improved. It could be a little slimmer, things like that. But I don't know if Valve themselves are going to be the one that does it, or we're going to see another company jump in and do it. But whatever the next version of that's going to look like is just, I mean, hell, I think it's already industry standard at this point, but I think that one's going to really be the one that takes off. So excited to see, which by the way, just speaking on that with Valve, they're to the point now where they're caught up with supply constraints and everything. Yep. Yeah, that now you don't have to reserve it anymore. You can order it and you're going to get it within like a week or two. So that's pretty awesome as well. And they just announced the dock. They're going to be shipping that as mm-hmm. well. So
yeah, that's I was on the fence about getting that because I was like, oh, yeah, do I really need a dock for the desk? Like I have enough things on my desk as it is. I think it's fine enough just keeping it in the case off to the side and just grabbing it whenever I want. But it has been cool to see like all the third parties too, coming up with things. I also saw the thing with Dbrand who makes like accessories for mobile devices. Like I have the case and everything. But like they had one, it was like a magnetic clip that sits on the back that you just pop on and pop off and then you can sit it on your desk and play. But apparently because it uses a magnet, it connects to the back and it slows down the fan which causes it to overheat and shut down.
Not good.
No, not definitely not good. Especially, you know, some of us have paid upwards of $600-700 for ours. But the cool thing is that they jumped on it early and they were like, oh, we've got reports of this. We're killing the program. We're going back to the drawing board and we're going to create all new stands that aren't impact, you know, that won't have the same impact, and we'll ship them out for free. You know, it's just like, you know, they took onus of the mistake, and it's been really good to see, like, you know, companies that try to put out, you know, components or accessories after the fact, for especially for something that's been like under the covers type, you know, technology as the Steam Deck, because we really didn't know what was going to be going on with this machine until it actually hit the streets. But it's cool to see them, you know, jumping on and just taking onus of a mistake, which, look, it's 2022, man. We're all living on bleeding edge technology these days. You know, people aren't going to be the greatest at it. Yes, they should take onus of it. And they did it. They did it the right way. And I'm glad that they are. I'm glad that they did.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, before I forget, let's just get into the show proper real quick, because there's one other thing I want to say. So again, this is Gamertag Radio, and thank you for everybody for listening. And again, if you want to leave us any feedback, you can do it just like this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
And also make sure check us out over at gamertagradio.com. You can obviously find us on your favorite RSS feed, Pocket Cast, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, I always say ColecoVision. You know something I did? I watched this video recently on the history of the ColecoVision. Mm-hmm. Do you know that Coleco was a leather company? In the New England, yes.
What?
Yes, they're a leather company.
How do you make that transition? How does that, you know what? We're making wallets and belts. Let's make a video game.
So Coleco, not forgetting what the first name is, but it's Coleco, basically a short for whatever the C is, leather company. Coleco. That's what it is. And they're based out of the New England area.
Connecticut That's how Leather it started. Company.
Coleco. There you go, the Connecticut Holy Leather crap. Company. Yes, yes. Yep.
Wow.
Crazy stuff, man. Yeah, it's funny how Wild Wild West, you know, the late 70s, early 80s was with, you know, gaming, with consoles and things like that. You know, we talked many times about like the 2600, and, you know, there was like a Sears variant of it, because mm-hmm. that was the one that I initially had, right?
Odyssey?
And yeah, no. Well, yeah, the Odyssey was a thing. And then obviously you had Intellivision back mm-hmm. then. You know, we talk about ColecoVision, Commodore 64, like all these variants of things, you know, Vectrex, which I joke about a lot as well. But yeah, it's funny that you had all these things, but it was the NES that solidified mm-hmm. all of it and basically made gaming what it is today. But before we get off on too many tangents on that, one last thing. So I was at TwitchCon this weekend, and it was awesome again to see just everybody in person as things are starting to open back up and we're starting to have these events again. And ironically enough, it was at the last TwitchCon in 2019 that was out here in San Diego. So it was cool to be able to do that again. You know, went to a couple of events, got to see a lot of different people. It was funny, and I can't remember exactly who I was talking to, but some couple of people that came up to me was asking me about, you know, like, oh, you know, Game Attack Radio, you guys are still doing it. It's like, all of you seem so busy. You're all doing your thing. And I was telling him, I was like, yeah, you know, I'm doing stuff with Kind of Funny, and, you know, Danny's over at G4, and I go, you know, and Pete, I go, Pete's out there on the world tour skiing the Alps and doing all this other stuff. But I go, but, you know, we still find time where there's all three of us together, you know, one of us, two of us, you know, we make sure that we're still doing this every week, and you know, we still love it, and, you know, this is why we're here. So yep. Again, it's a good thing, but yeah, it was awesome being at TwitchCon, being able to see everybody. And it's crazy, you and I have not seen each other face to face since 2019. You know,
is it crazy the world. Has it been 2019?
Yeah, it was E3 2019.
The drink, mm-hmm. the drink at yep. at the hotel downstairs. This is our yeah. last drink together. Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nuts. Yeah. We will definitely have to fix Absolutely. That here.
No. Soon. We'll definitely fix that. If not this year, definitely in 2023. We'll definitely fix
yeah,
that.
Yeah. 100%. All right. So with all that said, that's the opening of the show. So I actually want to jump into the sponsor segment that we have with NVIDIA. So again, I want to thank NVIDIA for the opportunity to get some hands-on time with the RTX 4090 as well as DLSS 3 with a few of their titles that have already been enabled in early access. So what we'll do right now is we're going to cut to that sponsored segment with NVIDIA talking about DLSS 3. And then when we come back, we'll jump into the RTX 4090 and have some further discussion about some of my observations over the past few days. So let's go to that segment right now. And again, thank you to NVIDIA for this opportunity.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
This segment of Gamertag Radio is a sponsored one, and it is brought to you by NVIDIA. So I've had the great opportunity the past few days to test out the RTX 4090, their latest generation graphics card. And as a part of the RTX 4090 is their revolutionary AI DLSS. And this is the next generation of DLSS, DLSS 3. And with DLSS 3, they're adding optical multi-frame generation, which inputs current and prior game frames and optical flow field and game engine data such as motion vectors and depth to generate new frames. So long story short, this is improving performance even more so than we saw with the original DLSS and even DLSS 2. So again, by adding optical multi-frame generation along with what we already had with super resolution, which was in the 30 and 20 series cards, and then NVIDIA Reflex, which helps improve latency as well. All three combined makes up DLSS 3. And again, I've had the great opportunity the past few days to be able to test that out over a couple games. So I'm going to kind of just go into that. So you're probably wondering again, how does DLSS work? So why is this limited only to the 40 series cards? Well, with DLSS 3, it is taking advantage of the new fourth generation tensor cores and along with the optical flow accelerator of the NVIDIA Ada Lovelace architecture. Again, combining that with super resolution and NVIDIA Reflex boosts performance even more so than we saw over DLSS 2. So as you guys know, I'm a huge Cyberpunk fan. So a couple games that I was able to test out with DLSS 3 was Cyberpunk 2077. I was able to run these cards at 4K, max settings, ultra, ray tracing on completely, enabled DLSS 3, the optical multi-frame, super resolution, as well as Reflex. The new overdrive ray tracing was not available as of me being able to test this out, so I had ray tracing set at psycho settings. I also was able to get an advanced copy of A Plague's Tale, Requiem, and play that as well. Again, had DLSS 3 fully enabled on that. And I can tell you, let's just start with Cyberpunk, because I'm sure that's going to be the one that a lot of people are really going to look at. Like, what am I getting out of DLSS 3 that is just so vastly superior that I was getting out of the previous version of DLSS 2? So with Cyberpunk 2077, maxed out settings, ray tracing fully on at psycho settings. With DLSS 2, using the RTX 4090, I was averaging about 60 frames per second, 4K 60 frames per second, which is pretty damn good, right? That is fantastic. You can't beat that type of performance using that 4090 at 4K, complete max settings with ray tracing on. Coming off of the Ampere architecture, that is phenomenal to be able to have that type of performance with everything maxed out, right? But when I got the build that had DLSS 3, and enable DLSS 3, my performance, again, max settings at 4K, ray tracing on, psycho settings, I went from averaging in the 60s frame per second to averaging in the mid 130 frames per second, about 135 frames per second rolling through Night City. And at its peak, I was in the mid 140s. And at its low, because it did vary depending on the area I was in. Now, I did see performance drop down into the low 100s. But for the most part, I stayed around there during action scenes, driving around Night City, etc. I stayed around the mid 130s for frames per second for performance. And again, you might be asking yourself, well, Paris, what is your setup completely? So I have an i9-10850K CPU. Obviously, we have the RTX 4090. I have 32 gigabytes of DDR4 RAM, and I'm running on NVMe SSD drive as well, just to give you an idea of the performance that you're looking at from this, from the PC side. Obviously, couple this with DLSS 3, running Cyberpunk 2077 completely maxed out. Like I said, I'm in the mid 130s on average for performance from this, which is phenomenal. And again, just do the math. I mean, I'm more than doubling the performance that I had with DLSS 2 going to DLSS 3. So again, when you put in the optical multi-frame generation, when you add in the super resolution, and again, at super resolution, I had that set at the performance setting, and then you put in the NVIDIA Reflex as well to try for low latency, add all that together. I mean, this gets us into a world where 4K above 120 frames per second with a graphically intensive game like Cyberpunk 2077 is now a reality with the RTX 4090 along with DLSS 3. Now, Plague's Tale Requiem, also play that. Again, DLSS 3 enabled, max ultra settings on everything. I was averaging in the 150s frames per second. I mean, about 152 to 155 frames per second is what I was averaging with DLSS 3 enabled. I did not play it with DLSS 2, so I can't give you that comparison. But I can tell you, with DLSS completely turned off, playing a Plague Tale Requiem, again, I'm in the 4K 60 frames per second area. I'm up in there. I'm in the 60s there. So again, good performance with the RTX 4090 without DLSS. But the second that I enable DLSS 3, I'm in the 150s frames per second. That is phenomenal. Just the performance that I was getting out of that. And I know we've seen things pre-launch, people worrying about latency, things like that. But I didn't see anything with my gameplay that took away from that. Again, playing Cyberpunk 2077, the fact that I'm above 120 frames per second, I'm in the 130s. Just smooth, crisp gameplay. Night City could not have looked better at ray tracing with the cycle settings enabled. So I can imagine what it's going to look like. And again, I'll talk about this when the Overdrive ray tracing is enabled for Cyberpunk 2077 to see what the performance looks like on that as well. But you couple that, you look at a Plague's Tale Requiem. I mean, again, I'm in the 150s frames per second. DLSS 3 is real. This is legit. When NVIDIA touted pre-launch about 2 to 4 times the performance of what you were seeing with a 3090 Ti, they weren't kidding. I had two other graphics cards. I had a 3080 Ti, I had a 3090 graphics card as well. And the 3090, again, let's just take Cyberpunk as an example with DLSS 2. I was averaging in the 50s with DLSS 2 enabled, maxed out settings. Again, I was in the low 50s to high 40s for performance using a 3090 card for Cyberpunk 2077. So again, jumping up to an RTX 4090 and also jumping up to DLSS 3, I have more than doubled the performance that you're seeing from that. I mean, damn near tripling it, if you really think about it. The fact that I am able to average around 135 frames per second in Night City, and like I said, at its peak, you know, I'm getting into the mid 140s frames per second, and on the low end, I'm getting into the high 100s, just depending on what I may particularly be doing. And even when I talk about the low end, these are just very random scenes. I noticed it mostly when I was driving. I would see the performance dip down, like when I was in a very populated area of Night City. But when I was actually in an action scene or I'm just walking around Night City, I'm in the 130s. On average for that, if not more than that. And I know I keep saying that because I can't believe it myself. And I will have some videos up to be able to show this. I'll have some videos up on the YouTube channel. I'll have some social media posts as well. I did use frame view to be able to capture what the percentages look like, what you know, CPU usage was look like, GPU usage was looking like on the RTX 4090, as well as the frames per second. So everyone that's listening to me now can get an idea, and they can see for themselves the performance boost that you're getting with DLSS 3. So, you know, when NVIDIA says this is revolutionary, and again, I know this is a sponsor segment, but trust me when I'm telling you, you will see this for yourself. The performance is real. This is absolutely real. And when you think even right now with DLSS 2, I mean, they're already supporting up to 216 games right now. And we're looking at here with the launch of the RTX 4090 along with DLSS 3, they're going to be looking to be supporting over 35 games and applications that are going to be integrating this technology. So we should be seeing this here over the next few weeks. We'll see more and more games. We obviously know that Portal is going to be taking advantage of this and adding in ray tracing as well. So I can't wait to get my hands on that. But for this test, again, because it's early days, I was only able to test with Cyberpunk 2077, which I actually think is a great test for this. This and Flight Simulator, unfortunately, Flight Simulator was one that I wasn't able to get in time. But Cyberpunk and Flight Simulator are kind of really the gauges here that we can look at from a performance standpoint. And when you think about the power that we're already getting with the RTX 4090, and then you add in this next generation of DLSS 3, I mean, we're living in a world now where 4K 120 frames per second is a reality. It's a reality now in some of your most graphic intensive games. We'll obviously see what Flight Simulator looks like when we get our hands on that later on. But for now, to be able to play a graphically intensive game like Cyberpunk 2077 with ray tracing enabled at max settings, and I'm at that high a frame per second, I cannot help but be impressed by that. And I think everyone that's listening to this, everyone that's going to be watching the videos, you're going to get to see that as well. And I just have to fully admit, I'm completely blown away by this. I mean, sure, there's all the marketing speak that you'll see with things like this, but to have my hands on this over the past almost week and to be able to see it for myself and to now be able to talk about it with you and show you these videos as well, We're going into the next generation of performance when it comes to these graphic cards. And with NVIDIA having their AI technology here with DLSS powering this, I mean, we're now seeing unprecedented performance on the PC side with these type of games. So I'm excited. I mean, there's other games that I've tested, and I'll talk about more of that in my actual review of the RTX 4090, because these are games that were not supporting DLSS 3, but even those, I mean, 4K, I mean, we're 90, 100, 100 something frames per second. We're in that reality now. And again, even the RTX 4090, just using DLSS 2, I mean, we're looking at above 100 frames per second with these games, which is just phenomenal. And then now you bring in DLSS 3, and obviously as time goes by, we're going to see more and more games integrate that technology, and just the performance increase is off the charts. It absolutely is. So wanted to kind of give you guys this. And again, this is a sponsored segment that I'm doing with NVIDIA. So I do want to thank NVIDIA for the opportunity to get my hands on the RTX 4090 and DLSS 3 early to be able to test it out with these games and to be able to provide you this information. I hope that it is helpful for you. And again, this is Paris. This has been my discussion with NVIDIA's DLSS 3, the next revolution in neural graphics. I'll talk to you soon.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right. So hope you guys enjoyed that. So those were my early thoughts on DLSS 3. And as I said in the sponsor segment, just due to development times, you know, obviously trying to meet embargo dates, I only had access to Cyberpunk 2077 and A Plague's Tale Requiem. Now, I cannot review A Plague's Tale Requiem just due to review embargoes and all that. That's why I kept it strictly to the performance that I was seeing. But I want to open this up to you, Pete, and just to jump into this. So as of this recording, I've had the RTX 4090 a little over a week. And in that time, I've been able to, you know, play various games, but DLSS 3 specifically, I only got maybe about 4 days hands-on time with that before I recorded the sponsor segment. Again, like I wasn't able to get Portal RTX or like I know Spider-Man, because we've seen Digital Foundry it has DLSS 3 as well. So things like that, I did not get hands-on. Flight Simulator was one I was really looking forward to getting hands-on with, because we just know how performance intensive that game is. So I really wanted to see how DLSS 3 was going to improve performance on Flight Simulator, but unfortunately at this time I did not get hands on. But what will happen here over the next week or two, I will get hands on with these games as they start to roll out, whether they're officially out in the wild or there's like an early press review for that. And as I do, I will definitely make sure to update. I'm planning on having videos up on my YouTube channel. You'll see some stuff up on social media as well talking about performance. So Pete, as you know, I gave you a couple little sneak peeks over the past few days of things that I was seeing. So let's start with Cyberpunk, because I think that's kind of the one that makes the most sense. As I've already talked about in the sponsor segment, it was wild to see me going from here's how the transition has worked over the past couple of weeks. I was playing Cyberpunk on a 3080 Ti, went to the 3090, and then up to the 4090, and along with DLSS 2 to DLSS 3. And it was crazy to see the performance thing. Not to mention, I also transitioned to Windows 11 during this time as well. And on the 3080 Ti, you know, I'm even with DLSS 2, I'm like in the 40s, right? Trying to play Cyberpunk. Then going over to the 3090, you know, I'm getting in the 50s, right? Performance wise. And then again, I'm talking DLSS 2. Then I got that 4090, and without DLSS 2, I'm getting 4K 60. And then with DLSS 2 on, I'm getting 90s 100 frames, right? Then with DLSS 3, as you know, all of a sudden it shot all the way up to like 140 frames, right? And on average, I'm sitting in about the 130s. And at the low end, you know, I had some performance dips. I got down into the 100s, low 100s. But on average, I'm sitting in about the mid 130s. And when I say this, this is completely maxed out. Ray tracing on, and I don't have the overdrive ray tracing. That's not available yet. Still waiting on that. But Psycho ray tracing settings, I'm in the mid 130s, which to me says, all right, 4K 120 with ray tracing is now a reality. This is a reality with this RTX 4090 and DLSS 3, and the performance on it has been fantastic. And like with A Plague's Tale Requiem, I mean, there's no ray tracing, but with DLSS 3, I'm in the 150s. Playing that game, and it was consistent no matter what I was doing, which was freaking wild to me. Being able to play a Spider-Man with not DLSS 3, but going with the normal, well, not the normal, but the DLSS 2. I mean, I'm still like in the 120s at 4K, right? Playing Destiny without DLSS, I'm playing at 4K in the 120s, right? These are the type of performance things that I was seeing the entire time. Like I fired up Portal 2 as an example. I mean, I'm 4K, like 130 something. And again, there's no DLSS or ray tracing with that either. But consistently, this RTX 4090 is a freaking powerhouse. It absolutely is. This is the performance that I've always wanted to see from a graphics card. Yes, we'll get into the power issues and things like that. But from a performance standpoint, this is the new king. It is absolutely the king. The fact that it can do Cyberpunk with those type of numbers, with DLSS or without, is very impressive to me, because we know how graphically intensive it is, especially with ray tracing on. So I'm excited to see more titles come out and be able to test more, especially with DLSS 3, because, you know, this is just where the industry is headed. They've already said that they're expecting 35 plus games to be available In this month that we'll be taking advantage of DLSS 3, and we already know that's going to continue to grow. And even with DLSS 2, I believe it's over 216 games that are available with that. So even with DLSS 2, you're seeing this performance jump with that 4090 in 4K with ray tracing, to where 4K 60 at a minimum is not going to be a problem. Even without DLSS 3, using an RTX 4090 at this point, solid frame rates. And then, like I said, we're talking 100 plus with all these games. That's why I'm excited to see what Flight Simulator is going to look like, because I think after Cyberpunk, that's the crisis game, right? That's the benchmark game that you want to see what it'll do from a performance standpoint. So I'll kind of open it up to you, because I'm very curious. From the outside in, some questions that you have, you know, with my time with the game, or with the card, I should say.
So I'm glad you brought up the word crisis, because it seems that whether it's Microsoft Flight Simulator or Cyberpunk 2077, that has become the new game to test, right? That is the new crisis. That is the new GPU killer, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. So my question is, and this may seem, I don't want to say controversial, but I'm just curious if the games that were chosen are games that are traditionally stronger or more performant based with NVIDIA, right? Like Crysis was usually the other ones. It was Metro was the last one that was like really, really used to showcase the strength of the GPU. And I'm curious, is there something either in the game, or is it the GPU itself? Is it, you know, the CUDA cores and the DLSS technology that is allowing games to perform 2, 3, and sometimes 4 times better on this new GPU?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, and this is why they've limited it to the 40 series cards, because this is our next generation of their tensor cores along with DLSS 3, because they've added in the optical multi-frame generation, which is basically AI based, and it's adding more frames into the game. It's doing calculations to already anticipate what the next frame is going to be, so it's adding more in there. So, like, I'm looking at the official, you know, press release right now, and it's talking about DLSS 3 frame generation technology supported by the 40 series cards, empowered by the fourth generation tensor cores and optical flow accelerator that is a part of the Ada Lovelace architecture, right? So this is why now with DLSS 3, we already had the super resolution, which you could have. You already had NVIDIA Reflex, and now they've added this third tier to it with the optical multi-frame generation. And this is what is allowing you to see this 2 to 4 time performance increase when you use DLSS 3 in these games. And I know a lot of it sounds like marketing speak. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, when Jensen was saying it, and the thing, you give him the side eye, like, come on, bro, really? But no, really, really, it really does. And it's not gimmicky or anything. We've obviously been used to DLSS over the past few years anyways. And to now be able to do this with the optical multi-frame generation. And like I said, I'm going from basically 60 frames to like 130. That's insane. In a game like Cyberpunk with ray tracing on. That's the big thing. We know how performance intensive ray tracing is in these games, right? To the point where you're better off turning it off if you want to get high frames in your games from a performance standpoint. What this is doing is now allowing you to have full ray tracing enabled, and you're getting 100 plus frames at native 4K. That is insane. It is insane that you're able to do this now. So right?
I'm thinking through, like, I'm going through like the history mentally of like the launches of GPUs over the last 10 years, let's say, right? The 980 was like 30% more powerful than the 780 prior. The 1080 was 30% faster than the 980. You know, the 2080 Ti was like 25% faster than the 3080 Ti. I'm sorry, vice versa. 3080 Ti was, you know, 25% faster than the 2080 Ti. And now we're jumping from the 3090 to the 4090. And it just seems like the numbers, the way it's jumped up is much higher than it has before. And it makes me question this thing that's called Moore's Law. Do you know what Moore's Law is?
Right. But remember, Jensen said Moore's Law is dead.
Right. So that's,
yeah. It's like, and this is kind of his point. Yeah.
We've spent all this time over the last 30, 40, 50 years of technology where everything is getting gradually smaller and smaller and smaller. And now all of a sudden, like, I think it was not, it was you that posted a picture of your, you know, the 3090 and the 4090 next to each other. And then somebody else on your Twitter, on your tweet posted the Xbox Series X next to it.
Yes.
This is Gamertag Radio.
Right, and let's take a quick word from our sponsor, HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-proportioned ingredients, and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Now, you can subscribe to HelloFresh and check Save Money off your fall to-do list. HelloFresh is 25% cheaper than takeout and less expensive than grocery shopping too. HelloFresh is now offering vegan recipes on the menu every week, made without animal products of any kind, like dairy, meat, eggs, or honey. Enjoy meals like sweet chili tofu bowls or spicy coconut curry stir fry. HelloFresh works with your ever-changing schedule. Plans are flexible, and you can choose your meals for the week, update your preferences, or change your delivery day, all in the HelloFresh app. Now, my family, we use HelloFresh every week. Probably for about the last year and a half, actually, we've been using HelloFresh, and it's been fantastic. We're a family of five. Four of us actually take advantage of it here in the house. So we get it in every week. It's probably 3 to 4 of our meals per week. And then that's what makes it great, because you have all the ingredients already there for you. It brings you a very easy to follow recipe that you can do, cook the meals, chop up the vegetables, add whatever other ingredients are part of that recipe, and you got a meal ready to feed a family of four within 20 to 30 minutes. It's really that easy. So I highly recommend HelloFresh. It's a fantastic deal, again, for a family on the go, busy family. Maybe you don't have the time to go get the big giant grocery list and plan out meals for the week. You can use HelloFresh, use that app, grab the meals that make sense for you and your family and have them delivered right to your door. It's pretty simple. So with all that, please go to HelloFresh.com/GTR65 and use our code GTR65 for 65% off plus free shipping. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/GTR65 and use our code GTR65 for 65% off plus free shipping. Again, this is HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, and thank you for sponsoring this episode of Gamertag Radio.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Now that's a little, that picture's a little deceptive, because Okay. Even in another tweet, I was like, no, it's not, because yes, it is close. Don't get me wrong. But that picture made it seem like the 4090 was way bigger than the Series S. It's not. The Series S is technically still bigger. It is longer than it. Thickness is about the same. Hmm. But to your point, see, this brings in the other part of this. And it's going to be very interesting to see when the 4080, and I am not counting the 12 gigabyte one, I'm strictly talking about the 16 gigabyte one. It is going to be interesting to see what the performance looks like for that compared to a 3090 and a 3090 Ti, mm-hmm. right? Because this 4090 lives up to the hype of what they're saying, 100%. But there is also a price tag that goes with that, right? I mean, this thing, the Founders Edition, which I have from NVIDIA, I mean, retails for $15.99. And we already know the partner cards. We're seeing ones that are going into $1,800, $2,000.
Have you seen the size of those, though?
Yes. And they're they're
like 20% larger, 20, 30% larger.
And this is right. And this is the other part I want to get into as far as power consumption goes as well. And the type of case that you're going to need to house these things. I mean, like I said, that 4090, people have seen the pictures I posted online and other people as well. Even the Founders Edition is a thick boy. It is big. 100%. No doubt. Again, use the Series S kind of as scale if you're trying to understand from a size standpoint. I have a Lee & Lee O11 XL. I mean, it fits fine. I could no longer vertically mount it, though. That because it is truly a three slot card. Really, it's more than three slots, but it's a three slot card. And that vertical mount I had could not support that. So I had to take all that out. And I had to mount it the normal way. There's no GP, there's no sag or anything like that. It's fine having it in there. It's not an issue, but I could not vertically mount it. And I'm sure there's going to be vertical mounts that'll come out that'll support and all that. But right now I cannot. But those partner cards, like we were joking offline about Danny being able in his PC, could it fit? I'm not sure. I'm not sure in his case that 4090 will fit. So a 4080 might make more sense for someone like him and for a lot of people, because again, you're going to need to make sure your case can support these things. From a power consumption standpoint, with the Founders Edition, they're recommending you have at a minimum an 850 watt PSU. I have a 1000 watt PSU, and even plugging that in, I kind of close my eyes as I hit the power button just to make sure, even though I know it should have been fine. So the adapter that comes with that, there's four adapters that can come in. I have all four plugged in. You technically only need three, but that fourth one allows headroom for overclocking. Got it. So you need to keep that in mind as well. So you, for all intents and purposes, for anybody that's looking to overclock these cards, you want to make sure you have all four plugged in. And anyone that would be doing that is going to do it anyways, right?
Right.
You know, there's the next generation PSUs that are coming out. So that'll be able to natively support plugging directly in with one cable versus having to do the power adapters. Obviously, you're going to have to buy that stuff separately. I'm sure you're going to see some of the partner cards come with stuff like that as well. But it's been fine. I mean, cooling wise, I'm not seeing anything crazy with it. Everything seems to be normal. Oh, and let me say this. I said it during the sponsor segment. I'll say it here again. So I have an i9 1080 50K CPU. Again, I just talked about the Lee & Lee case that I have everything in, 1000 watt PSU. I have 32 gigabytes of DDR4 RAM in this thing, and I am running on Windows 11, just so people know from a spec standpoint of the type of PC that I have. But no issues at all, really. I mean, this was pretty straightforward plug and play. You know, once I got it in there, NVIDIA obviously sent me early drivers for it, and it's been fine. I use FrameView to, capture what the frames were looking like, to kind of look like what CPU utilization was looking like, GPU utilization, all that stuff, temps, everything. No issues at all. And like I said, game wise, I legitimately have seen the performance jump up to four seems kind of high to me. I would say more two to three. Two to three times the performance, obviously with DLSS3 enabled in that. But I'm now living in a gaming world where I'm spoiled to the point where I can play Cyberpunk 2077 maxed out with ray tracing at above 120 frames per second on average.
That's wild.
Insane.
That's insane.
It's insane. It's insane. And the reason I say above 120, because I play on an LG CX 48 inch OLED. That is my gaming monitor, as I do air quotes, right? But we're obviously seeing that's becoming a standard now. Like LG now has that 42 inch variant of it as well, things like that. But that's what I play on. So 4K 120 with NVIDIA G-Sync, the whole thing, that's my standard. That's what I want to play games at. And now I can play a graphically intensive game like Cyberpunk at 4K 120. No problems.
Not to switch the focus, but in this upcoming CES, they're coming up with a 27 and a 32 inch variant of that monitor you're talking about.
Yes.
That's going to be,
that's what I'm saying. That's where we're going. Yeah. And that's where we're going. That's the whole point. Yeah. I'm on the large end, obviously, with a 48 inch because I've had this thing since 2020. But the fact that they're scaling it down now to those sizes and you can, you know, do dual, triple monitors, you know, with that kind of, you know, resolution and performance with OLED. I mean, it's because I mean, they're talking 144 hertz versions of this now. Because is it LG or is it Asus? I forget who it is, but they got the 4K OLED that's overclocked.
It's the BFG monitor, something like that.
Yeah. That's realistic now, is the point with this 4090 card. You can get that kind of performance at that resolution, which is insanity to me. It's crazy that this is where we are. So, I mean, like I said, I will be curious to see what the 4080 16 gigabyte version looks like from a performance standpoint, because they're already saying that's going to be two times the performance of a 3090 Ti. And we obviously are seeing that the 4090 is well doing two to three times the performance of that. But there's the price tag that goes with it. But if you're an enthusiast and you're into, you want high frames at a high resolution, you want to max everything out at ultra, you want the ray tracing enabled as well, this is the card that does it. This is the new king of GPUs right now, for sure, 100%. And again, you're coupling it with DLSS3, you're getting just these unprecedented performance leaps with this card. And it is legit, 100%.
I'm looking at my case right now, and I'm thinking I may have to go get cardboard and like do a cardboard cutout of the shape of the card to see if it'll fit in mine. I transitioned earlier this year from the same case you have, right? The O11 yep. Dynamic XL to the O11 Dynamic Evo, which is...
The Evo should be fine. The Evo should be fine.
Now.
It should be. Yeah.
If I were to use the standard GPU mount on the motherboard, yes. But mine has the vertical mount parallel to the motherboard. So it's
literally... Take it out. That's what I'm telling you. No! You're going to have to take it out. You have to. I had to do the same exact thing. That's what I'm saying. I had the vertical mount and I had to take it out.
No,
because
So you say vertical mount. Yours is vertical hemmed up against the glass, correct?
It was.
Mine is vertical, but literally to the right of the motherboard, hanging straight down.
Ooh. Yeah, you gotta measure that. you better measure that because that's, again, this is a big boy.
Yeah, this is a big boy. That's why I'm wondering. So, and I don't have that much clearance.
Not to mention, you need to make sure that can do three slots, because that was the issue. It wasn't that it wouldn't fit vertically, because it would have. It was the three slots. I could not seat it into the slot, or you know what I'm saying, into the PCI thing, because you know how when you put it in, it needs to fit in the three slots, and it did not. So I was like, crap, I can't do this. I had to take it out, and then I had to put it the traditional way, because I did have the room for three slots in there, and that's fine. And it's like, I had to put it in the bottom PCI slot that I had to make sure I had enough room.
All right. So according to this, the Founders Edition 4090 is 304 millimeters, thickness three slots, 61 millimeters, width is 137 millimeters. The card tray that uses that's on mine is, so the length is fine, 355 millimeters. Mm-hmm. The thickness is 62 millimeters. So I'm just like, phew, just like barely enough. So it looks like there's a possibility. There's a chance.
Okay.
Oh, goodness gracious, man. See, now I'm sweating. Ah, man, I wasn't ready for all this extra. Oh.
Babe, you know what? Danny's going to kill us. Let's take a break right now and come back to this conversation. Let's take a break, and we're going to get a word from our sponsor, HelloFresh. We'll be right back. All right, so we're back. So yeah, let's continue this discussion here. Yeah. So yeah, from a measurement standpoint, basically the warning that we're trying to put out to everyone that's considering this card, make sure you do your homework ahead of time that it will fit in your current case, or if you do need to go get a new case to be able to fit this. Can you vertically mount it? Do you have to put it in, you know, traditionally, and you know, will there be any GPU, Why am I blanking on it?
GPU slot. It's a triple slot.
Not the slot. The SAG. I won't say slag. SAG. Make sure you know GPU SAG, things like that. But it's a powerhouse for sure. If you're looking at that performance, and like I said, the Founders Edition is $15.99 retail. It's going on sale October 12th. I've already seen, it sounds like Nvidia is definitely going to have enough in supply. So this is going to be like with Ampere, where, you know, all the bots were just snatching them up within seconds. So it seems like if you want to go out day one and get a 4090, you will be able to obtain one.
There you go.
So any other questions with the RTX 4090?
Well, it's like we kind of covered all of them in this conversation. So I think, let's see. I mean, I guess put yourself in my position, right? Like, most important question. Me, I have I'm fortunate enough to have a 3080 in my system, knowing the performance jumps that we've seen year over year. Why should I jump into the 40 series card?
If you care about 4K gaming at 100 plus frames with ray tracing enabled, this is the card that's going to do it.
As I look at my 1440 monitors.
Right. But this is the point. I'm actually glad that you brought that up, because I think this is very important. A lot of people play game at 1440p. I mean, it's pretty much a standard. Let's put it that way, right? If you're gaming at 1440p, you do not need this card.
Right.
You don't. Honestly, you don't need a 40 series card at all. Stick with Ampere. Stick with a 3080, stick with a 3080 Ti, a 3090, whatever you may currently have right now, or maybe you're coming from a 20 series and want to upgrade. This is going to be a fantastic time to get a 30 series card, because the prices are going to drop big time. Like, trust me, I've already had a few people slide up in my DMs like, hey, man, yeah, no, you got that 3080 Ti. You won't let it go. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are already trying to, you know, snooker me out of my cards. I'm like, man, come on now. But the point on that is, if you game at 1440p, those 30 series cards will give the performance that I'm talking about right now with this 4090 and DLSS 3. You're going to get that with the 30 series cards at 1440p. So why? You know, with DLSS 2, you're going to get similar things. Now, if you just want to be a crazy person and play at 1440p at 200 something frames, then go knock yourself out. Go get a 4090 and you can go do that. But yeah, I mean, for the average gamer that wants high frames, that plays at 1440p with ray tracing, I cannot recommend that you run out and go get this card. I see no reason to. Now, there may be a day where, and look, we'll see what the 4080 performance looks like and all that, right? And the price obviously is going to be cheaper, but I'm even more curious with what the 4070 is going to be, because you'll be able to do DLSS 3, right?
Right.
So if you play at 1440p, you'll be able to get DLSS 3. You should easily be hitting 100 plus frames at 1440p with a 4070. I don't see why you wouldn't. And you can take advantage of the new tech that DLSS 3 is going to provide. So it's going to be interesting times. This is obviously the opening conversation of this here with the 4090. This is the flagship GPU kicking off in October. We're going to get the 4080 cards in November. And then I would imagine probably early 2023, you know, they're going to start talking about whatever this 4070 is going to look like.
The only other mad question is, like, what are obviously, like, EVGA announced last week that they're no longer going to sell.
What? Yeah, don't remind me.
They're no longer going to sell Nvidia cards, right? And if it's not known to everybody, it's simply because they were originally promised that, you know, Nvidia would never be in the market to argue with them about pricing and inventory, and now Nvidia is kind of selling them, you know, wholesale with the Founder Series cards. But what are the manufacturers, whether it's, you know, Asus or MSI, who's now launching their own series of cards again, and other partners, what are they going to do alongside Nvidia and to a lesser extent AMD as well? What are they going to do to stop the bots and allowing us as consumers to actually go out and buy these cards, as opposed to seeing what the market has been like over the last 2-3 years, whether it's, you know, people buying them for cryptocurrency mining, or,
well, that's dead. That's the thing that's going to help with this. that mining's dead. So you're not going to see people running out trying to get that card for that, because that's what hurt Amp. Not, you know, obviously there were supply constraints, and you had all the crypto miners that were hogging up all the cards. We're not going to see that this time. That's why it is really looking like, and I've already seen some videos, people talking about this, you'll be able to walk in a micro center on the 12th and get a 4090 if you want it.
Oh, I hope so. And it's not just that, it's also the bots online, right? You know, the bots that come in, and like we have to go and do, what was it? The applications that we're all running on, or people who, you know, sitting there on command line and, you know, just plugging away on APIs against online inventories to see when the new one hits, whether it's at Best Buy or it's at, you know, Micro Center or Newegg or any of those other online distributors. What are they doing to minimize the impact of those? Because I don't think it'll ever stop, right? We'll always have those. They'll always find a way. But how are, you know, what are they doing, and how confident are they that, like you said, I can either go online and buy one, or I can walk into a brick and mortar store and purchase one off the shelf. Right. So that's my only other concern as a consumer.
Right. I don't think it's going to be as bad this time. Now, like you already mentioned AMD, let's see what AMD announces in November. Then let's see what the availability of the 4080 cards are going to look like, in November as well. Cause I believe, it's November and they're coming out. Now, one other thing, like you mentioned, EVGA is out, which sucks. Cause that was my favorite partner, partner board to get. Like my 3090 is an EVGA. The 12 gigabyte 4080 will only be partner cards. NVIDIA will not be selling a founder's edition of that 12 gigabyte card. So that's going to be interesting. Like I, and this is my personal opinion. I cannot recommend people go out and get that 12 gigabyte card. We'll obviously see what the performance stuff looks like from the partners when they start sending them out. But I just feel like the 4070 is going to be more catered towards people that would care about that card. And it should be cheaper than what they're going to sell this 12 gigabyte variant of. It is that 16 gigabyte one is the one that you're going to be looking at from a performance standpoint of, that would be the one to get. And I believe that one is $1,199. So it's not cheap either. But to your main point about availability and bots and all that, I just don't think it's going to be as bad this time as we saw last time with Ampere. Not to mention, there's still a lot of 30 series cards out there as well, both on the used market, because, you know, the miners are giving them up. And excuse me, you're going to be seeing those at retail as well. Again, I would say, this is just me, if you're looking for the most performance, the 4090 is going to be it for a while. We'll obviously see what AMD does, but AMD does not, their variant of, what is it, FSR, whatever it's called, but their variant of DLSS is not as mature as what NVIDIA is, right? So you're not going to see the same performance when it comes to that from AMD that you're going to be seeing from NVIDIA. So right. For that point, the performance king is going to be that 4090 for a while. If you're not into the tippity top, I need the best of the best, I'm still telling people, look at these 30 series cards. You're going to get hell deals for 3090s and 3090 Ti's over the next few months. That would be what I would look at, especially on the secondary market. So it's going to be interesting to see. Again, I'm a nerd. We're nerds. People listening to this, we're all nerds and tech geeks. We want the best of the best. So you want that great performance. So, you know, again, I do want to thank NVIDIA for the opportunity of letting me get this 4090 card, being able to test out DLSS3 and just see all this awesome performance that you're getting out of it. Because I have been gaming with a smile on my face as I look at these numbers the past few days. So very excited for that. But I think that's it. Honestly, I know we didn't get to any other gaming topics, but wow, we've already gone pretty long here.
Pretty much.
Just discussing this card. Any other things? No, anything else?
That's it. I'm kind of hyped. I'm kind of worried too, though. So I'm gonna be on the Reddit, time hole, just drilling down on subreddits. I already found the main one for Leon Lee and the 4090. So they say that there is potential for compatibility. It's just, I think I might be limited to one of two things, either the Founders Edition or a partner board, a Game Rock OC.
Hey, which one was it? I can't remember. I think it was J2Cent. He had one of those partner boards. I can't remember if it was Zotac or not. It doesn't matter.
It was Asus.
But he had that. Asus?
It was an Asus. It was a massive one. It's huge.
My God. It's cartoonish.
He put it next to his PlayStation yes. 5. That's yes. when you know, because you know the PlayStation 5 is notoriously massive in size. When you use that as your banana, right? Your banana yeah. for scale. When you use that, you know, that's when like I immediately thought to the Moore's Law comment from Jensen. It's like, and what's insane is that most, like half of, like even less than that, and especially on the 4090, the board starts on that first half when it starts to jut in into that first angular cut beyond the fan. The rest of that board is all cooler radiators and I forgot the name of it. Condenser, you know, and evaporators. That's all that is. Beyond that is just for cooling, because the board is just that component that's under the fan, which is insane to me. Oh my God. Please fit in this case.
And with that, I think we'll go ahead and end the episode. So again, I want to remind everyone, if you want to leave us any feedback, you can do it just like this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call. 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete. Again, another great episode. I said it at the top, I'll say it again. I want to thank you for NVIDIA for the sponsor segment on DLSS 3 and just our talk about the RTX 4090 in general. Obviously, we had a lot to talk about just on the card itself, so took up the entire episode. So again, I want to thank everybody for checking out this episode. This is not the end of this discussion. Like I said, I'll have more performance videos up here over the next few days and weeks, you know, as I get access to more DLSS 3 titles, just to see what the performance looks like. And I appreciate everybody for the support. But this has been another episode of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris. That's Pete. And we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.